Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm first hour, and today is Tuesday, December 20th, 2022. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. These tools are available absolutely free through the tireless efforts of Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice on the website at whyagain.org. If you go to that website and click on the link that says Start Here, the two words that say Start Here in the upper left-hand corner, it will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that chapter of the book contains a narrative description of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet. It's a tool I've been using to great effect for over 18 years to improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships, and to turn any negative emotional experience I have into part of the infallible guidance system that each and every one of us have been given. You can also download the actual worksheet itself. It's a simple PDF file. You don't even have to put your name on a mailing list. You just click the link, download it, print it off, copy it as often as you'd like, and use it over and over again, absolutely free. You can also go to your app store and type in the three words, Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness. And if you choose to do that, before you're done typing the word forgiveness, you'll see the glowing heart icon. If you choose to tap on that, it will let you download a completely free and private app that contains the Reality Management Worksheet, an abbreviated version of that worksheet process, and a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. We hope people do all of that soon and often, as it tends to improve the quality of people's lives the more they use these tools. And also, it tends to prompt comments, questions, answers, and testimonials. If you have any of those to share with us, please feel free to call us at 563-999-3581. If you call that number and press 1, it will put a little icon of a hand by your phone number. I'll turn on your microphone, and we can have a conversation. And we appreciate when people do that because it makes it far easier for us to live into our intention with this work. The intention with this work is to be a service. And if you can let us know specifically what might be of service to you, we will endeavor to engage that process. Today is Tuesday, which means there'll be a support group tonight from 6:30 to 9 p.m. Central Time. The support groups are available to people absolutely free. You can donate if you so desire, but you don't need to pay any money to join us. You can just go to the mindshiftersacademy.org website, and there'll be a separate page for the Tuesday login information and a separate one for the Thursday login information. And All you need to do, if you choose to do that, is log into Zoom on your computer and you'll be with us. Some people just call in on their phone and they don't use the video. Some people do both the video and the audio, but either way, that's available tonight, 6:30 to 9 p.m. Central. And it will happen tonight, and then tomorrow night, or on Thursday night this week, and then next week there will not be any support groups for the Tuesday and Thursday between Christmas and New Year's. And all through the week next week, I will be doing the best of shows, the highlight shows in which I have been presenting worksheets that I did over the years when I was triggered and the processing that was involved. And the more I review these, the more I think that's going to be a really valuable set of 5 or 6 or 7 different shows, because there'll be 5 that'll be published next week from Monday through Friday. And as I'm doing it, I keep running into other shows and trying to decide which one should I include and which one should I. So I'm just going to create a, I will add all of them to the best of audio files page on the MindShiftersAcademy.org website. And hopefully those will be up before I leave for the week's respite. And so even if you're not able to join us next week live as we replay those shows, you'll be able to access them through the MindShiftersAcademy.org website on the Best of Audio Files page. And the more I listen to them, the more I think this is a very, very powerful set of tools, these internet shows in which we've discussed them and people have asked questions about it. They serve as a wonderful primer and tutorial for the use of the reality management worksheet. And we've got both of them. We've got the 7-step one that I step through in some shows, and we've got the 5-step mental short version that I've used in some of the shows. So that's coming up next week, and the support group tonight, and we have plenty of time to discuss or handle comments or questions. 563-999-3581. Call that number and press 1, and we can have a conversation. One of the things that has really stirred up the old brain cells is going through some of these archive shows and hearing names of people that used to be regular, frequent callers who we don't hear from anymore. People like Shelley and Jack and Michelle, and it's just amazing. I think one of the first times Urate ever called, she accidentally had her hand raised, and that's in one of the shows. And she said, "Oh, I thought I was just going to listen." So we get introduced to people over the years. They show up, they get some benefit or not, and then they disappear, and we never get to know. We don't know where they went, how they're doing, but that'll be some brain cells stirring up for quite a few people if they choose to join us next week for those replays. So, how can we support you today? What's on your mind? Before we get back into reading lesson 33 to finish, or maybe attempt to finish today, reading lesson 33 in the Way of Mastery. It's pretty clear by how much of it has gotten finished already that we're not going to get through all 35 lessons before the end of the year, because I'll be gone next week. But we are being invited in these last few lessons to really get clear about what do we value? What do we put our loyalty and trust in? How are we keeping ourselves from experiencing our true nature and or owning our role as creator of our life experience. And so it's a challenge for me as I read this to keep reading and stay focused on the lesson, because my mind is throwing up for me all kinds of refutations that I'm sure are happening or will be happening to people as they read these or hear these tapes in the future as they replay this show. So we're in lesson 33. The title of it is, There Is Only God and You Are That. There is only the flow of creation and you are that. And when we left off yesterday was right before a section titled, Realizing All Power in Heaven and Earth Resides Within You. And the text reads, There can be only creation. You are creation's dream. You are creation's creation. You are creation's child in the sense that you are creation shaping itself into a temporary expression of itself. And for what purpose? To simply extend creation. And you are that one. All power in heaven and earth resides within you. When you bend to pick up a glass, creation is embracing creation. And if creation were not choosing that in that moment, you would cease to be. Even the body would vanish from view. This makes me think of Abraham Hicks and the channeling from that consciousness that says, over and over and over again, they say, you as human beings in bodies on the planet are the leading edge of creation. Consciousness, sparks of the divine mind without physical form, awareness is watching, is thrilling, is participating with us as we here in physical form are doing what we do as the leading edge of creation. You are that one. All power in heaven and earth resides within you as the extension of the creative energy manifesting in form in this moment. The text here goes on and reads, As Yeshua ben Joseph then, I have appeared to you to be your brother and friend because you have believed that you needed someone to be a brother and a friend who will let you know that you are so safe that you can give yourself permission to nod your head yes and say, okay, I can accept that now. Thank you for being here, Yeshua. Yet in truth, you are creation merely playing out that field of relationship. The quality of experience that seems to require an elder brother who has gone through quite a change and now has the voice of authority. You are all of that. You are creating that sense that you need an older brother. But the text goes on and says, But I have no voice unless you give it to me. And what can give such authority if not the mind of creation itself? Because it takes one to know one. You've heard me say that many, many times. It takes one to know one. It can only be the Christ mind in you that could perceive the Christ mind in me or in Yeshua. And the Christ mind is the extension of God's perfect being into and as creation. When you look lovingly upon anyone, you are creation, for creation is but love. You've also heard me say many times, love is the essence of what you are. If creation is love and love is the essence of what you are, this can only mean by essence, the essence of you is creation, is God, is light, is love. Right here, right now, with not one thing that must be done to earn it, to shape it, or to get it. This is your truth. This is why no form of technique brings the offspring to the Creator. This is why I once said in the Yeshua letters that no prayer or supplication brings the offspring to the Creator, but only the release of illusion. And that illusion, when you have peeled it all the way down in the way you have insisted on peeling it down, is to come to see that the notion you have held of yourself, little s self, as having a separate existence, being a separate, quote, I, close quotes, this has been false. It is a smoke screen, a guise, a veil. Your perception or belief that that is what you were, as opposed to being everything else, that is illusion that must be released. The next heading is titled, Choosing to Decree That Only God Exists, That Only Creation Itself Exists. In the way of knowing, what I'm offering to you, as indeed your Creator and the essence of all that you are, is the opportunity to choose this context to decree that only creation exists, only God exists, only light exists. To choose that very body-mind and the little s self that you once thought you were is now embodied, inhabited by the Creator itself. We could choose that, to choose that this little S self, the body mind, is embodied by the Creator itself. And that when the hand that moves to pick up the glass, it is no longer, quote, I, close quotes, but it is creation itself. It's no longer, quote, me, close quotes, as a separate struggling being, but creation itself who moves the hand. It is creation who is aging the hand, and creation who is the aging of the hand, all things that can only be that which I am. I am one and singular and whole, as is all of creation. As they've said over and over throughout this book, I and my Creator are one. Goes on and says, the Creator says, quote, you should have no other gods before me, no other thoughts or illusions before me, not even a sense of, quote, I, close quotes, as going to God. Then there is only God, there is only creation, there is only the One. And capital R, reality has descended to make its home in the field of awareness where once you thought there was something else. We created the way of the heart to begin to speak in such a way to you that would not elicit fear, which you could nod your head and say, Yeah, that sounds like true to me. Okay, I'll accept this. And then we spoke to you in the way of transformation, where you perceived yourself as one who was in need of transformation. And again, you nodded your heads and you said, well, yeah, okay, we'll accept this. Yeah, I'm still in need of transformation. So I'll buy into this as the context in which I receive more of the truth about myself. And now, in the way of knowing, we begin to bring you full force into that which you have chosen to bring yourself to stand at the doorway of the temple of heaven, to begin to open it, to let the golden light stream out. As you look into that sanctuary to see, it is yourself upon the throne. This is why I have also said that self-love, capital S self, capital L love, the simplicity of self-love is that doorway that brings about the release of illusion. This does not mean that you just hang out in a state of consciousness that says, quote, well, I'm really kind of a weak being, but I accept and love myself, close quotes. That is a good beginning, but eventually you must say, quote, I am God, and I love myself. I am creation, and I embrace myself. I honor myself. I am that one abiding as the leaf that falls from the tree. I am indeed that one that shudders against the cold of a winter storm. I am indeed that one that is the warmth of the sunlight that comes to caress the flower. I am the flower that receives the sunlight. I am this body-mind arising and passing away. I am the quality of awareness that I choose now. Close quotes. For there is only God. There is only light. There is only creation. Only the truth can be true. Only the capital T truth of creation can be true. And the truth sets all things free. For if truth is given only to humankind, but not to a blade of grass, the blade of grass remains imprisoned. But the capital T truth that sets all things free does so because all things are the truth. This is why when you encounter anyone, it is indeed a holy encounter. Holy means wholeness. In wholeness, there is only one. I hope you are beginning to see how simple it really is. Each moment of relationship is holy, not because the mind decides to hold the thought, well, I heard this is holy, and I guess I better be a nice person. No, that is egoic thinking. And the ego is the dream of separation. Who is dreaming the dream? You are, and you are creation. Each relationship or each moment is a holy encounter because there is only wholeness showing up as that one being, that one thing, that one essence. Existence is not really two beings coming together and having an experience. There is only one thing, which is the experience itself. Do you know that all along you've never forgotten me for a moment? That is, in any moment of true perception, true, clear, immediate perception, you have been unaware of the thought of an I as having the experience. There is just the experience itself. It arises innocently. It arises uncaused. There is no judgment about it. There is just experience. Then in the next millisecond, the next slight moment, you create the thought, oh, I'm having this experience. And it's with that separate being over there. You have merely elected to use the power of creative consciousness to identify that another body-mind is something separate from you. You are the creator of that game. You are the players in the game. You are the result and consequences of the game. You are the end of the game. And you are that in which all games disappear as though they had never been. Beloved friends, look around you. This means the world is not outside of you at all. It is you playing a game. That game is going to take this very planet into a transfiguration in light, and you will all be transformed in the twinkling of an eye. Well, of course you will be. You are creation making up the game. That is all that is going on. That is all that has ever been going on. There is only that which I am. There is only that which I am. I am indeed that perfect, impersonal I. I am the creator of all things, the sustainer of all things, the destroyer of all things. There has never been a separate I where you are. There has only been me showing up as you. You are perfect and whole, and you are innocent. You've never failed, and you've never sinned. How could these things be that I have spoken to you time and time again as Yeshua ben Joseph, unless you are already whole? And wholeness is creation. You are it. You are the destination of all you are seeking. That's from that Francis of Assisi line that Dale Ellen Hoffman likes to quote. You are what you're looking for. Reminds me of the Thomas Gospels quote that said, if you bring out what is within you will save you. If you don't bring out what is within you will destroy you. You are the destination of all you are seeking. The text goes on and says, in the beginning, the mind, capital M mind, which is me, which is God, which is creation, pretending to be separate. In the beginning, it plays itself out and tries to make itself be as separate as it thinks it can be. But separation never succeeds. The first step in the awakening process is to hear the word. You will hear the word when you decide as creation, as the creator, to have the experience of being a being awakening to the capital T truth. So that paragraph, that little paragraph again, in the beginning, the mind, capital M mind, the one mind, that mind, which is me, Yeshua ben Joseph, which is God, which is you, which is creation, that mind plays itself out and tries to make itself be as separate as it thinks it can be. However, separation never succeeds. The first step in the awakening process is to hear the word. You will hear the word when you decide, as the creator, to have experience of being a living being, awakening to the truth. Everyone reading these words, everyone hearing these words, has indeed heard the word. And the word will be given unto you in a form that you choose. Everyone reading this or hearing this, the way of mastery, chose to hear the word through me, Yeshua ben Joseph. The vibration received by you set you on your course toward perfect remembrance and enlightenment. You are the one that created the drama of the crucifixion. You are the one that set in motion the return of Yeshua ben Joseph as the primary teacher in the world. Why? Because you are that one that has decreed that it has the context in which you will give yourself permission to edge ever closer to the reality that the whole thing is creation and that you are that. What has been playing out then for these past 33 lessons and even longer than that, indeed been playing out for over 2,000 years, is your creation. It is the game of the Creator remembering creation through the guise of creation's creation. As you come then to accept a savior or a teacher or a teaching, that is a stage in the awakening process. When you decide to release your grip of fear a little deeper, you begin to have what are called mystical experiences. You begin to realize that you can be aware of someone else not in the room with you physically. You begin to have unique and extraordinary experiences of communicating with beings that do not have bodies. Oh my goodness, it all looks so incredible. Yet even that is just a stage of the journey. The next section is titled, Opening the Door to the Temple of Heaven. And the text reads, as the mind becomes more and more transparent to itself, the more it is simply choosing to release illusion and abide in reality. It must come to the door of the Temple of Heaven. It must open that door, which is to release any final sense of being outside of the sanctuary of the truth, capital T truth. The mind must come back in the light that flows from the source and essence of all that is. It must come back and bask in the light that flows from the source and the essence of all that is. The separate seeker, the one who would know the Creator, realizes that they already know the creation perfectly and that they have indeed been the creation, seeking the creation for the enjoyment of finding creation again. Yet, that is your challenge now. Would you be willing to simply be all of creation? Do you know what that requires? Absolutely nothing. How then do you show up as creation? If you're thirsty, drink your water. If it's cold, put a sweater on. If you want to make love, make love. If you want to sleep, sleep. There is no difficulty in this. The only practice is to be that which you are, and you are the light of the world. So this reminds me of that ancient Eastern saying that says, you know, before enlightenment, I fetched water and chopped wood. And then after enlightenment, I fetched water and chopped wood. You are already that which you're looking for. What does it require for you to accept that? Nothing. Just be who and what you are. Live your life. Drink fluids when you're thirsty. Put on a sweater when you're cold. Make love when you want to make love. Sleep when you want to sleep. The only practice is to be consciously aware through those activities that you are all of creation, as you're expressing in form. You are consciousness itself. You are connected to every other mind. The text goes on and reads, how many times have you heard me say that to you? Be that which you are. The truth that is true always is that I and my Father are one. I and my Creator are one. I cannot be separate. You are the light of the world. You've heard the words and you've said, oh, now if only if I could only be who I am, then I'd be the light of the world. But I'm not being who I am, so I must be the darkness of the world. But the whole time, indeed, you are just being who you are. You are the light of the world. You are the light that lights the world. For being, in being whatever you've chosen to be at any moment, you are that which generates awareness of experience. And that is all that we are as the mind of the Creator. We are that which generates experience. For experience is the extension of creation. You have not failed in separating your little s self from your capital S self. You have not succeeded in shaking the hand off of your own arm. The joke has been on you because you wanted to be joked. In each moment of your existence, you've been the perfect expression of God, of creation, of light. Even in the moments of your deepest so-called suffering, when you believed that everybody else had it and you did not, perceived yourself as being light years from knowing your Creator, you were the very power of the Creator creating that perception. You're also that one who has dared to be bold enough to allow Shanti Christo into your life, a rather radical organization. You created it as the context for your awakening, and you are free to use that context, that organization, to enlighten the entire planet if you want to. You're also free to let it crumble into an ancient echo of memory. There is only creation. There is only God, and you are that. God extends creation without ceasing. Creation extends itself without ceasing. You will therefore always continue to exist as the one who creates experience. This is why there is only one question worth asking. Do I truly want? Close quotes. For you will experience the answer to that question. And in fact, your experience is the answer to that question. You can lay in bed with the flu and ask yourself the question, what do I truly want? Well, this body mind has the flu. I'm experiencing exactly what I have wanted. And you can embrace it and love it and see it as perfectly innocent because that is the truth of it. Having the flu is not a sign of failure. The death of the body is not a sign of failure. It is just what is arising as the extension of creation. So the final and greatest truth that can be told sounds like complete nonsense. It is unacceptable to the egoic mind that wants the power of making the false separate self all-powerful and invincible and standing against the world. In other words, the gnat shouting at the universe. For the mind that is awakened to the actuality of creation allows all things, trusts all things, embraces all things, transcends all things, and sees the shimmering perfection literally showing up as all things. You are perfectly free in every moment. Nothing can imprison the Creator. If you choose to leave a relationship, you're merely using the complete freedom of the Creator to generate experience. If you choose to stay in a relationship, you're merely using the freedom of the Creator to generate experience. Neither is right, neither is wrong. Both options are totally free and uncaused. And each expresses creation. It is indeed time to give up perceiving some things as being more perfect than others. There is only creation. There is and has only been the creation. There will always be only the creation. When a wave is cast up out of the ocean, it does not lose its wetness. And who would say that this wave is better than that wave? Yet I say unto you, the mind that chooses one wave over another is the mind of God creating creation. For in the very moment when one wave is chosen as having greater value, experience has been had. And experience is the extension of creation. You, therefore, are a creator, and you create without ceasing. You remain today exactly as you were when you were created by your capital S self. You remain free to create whatever you want to perceive. And you do it from within the mind, and you extend it out. You radiate it out with every thought you think. You are creating. You are extending creation with every thought you think. The text goes on and reads, when an enlightened master shows up on the planet, it is simply that creation has given up playing the game of the separate self through that body-mind. That is all. An enlightened mind realizes that there is only creation. There is only one. And that in that freedom, it is free to show up as the body-mind in whatever way it wants, while the body-mind lasts. Whether it shows up with saffron robes or a beggar's worn-out clothes makes no difference. An enlightened mind is an enlightened mind. It might smoke a cigarette. It might drink carrot juice. It becomes irrelevant. And the one smoking the cigarette looks at the one drinking the carrot juice and smiles. And the one smoking the cigarette looks at the one drinking the carrot juice and smiles. The one drinking the carrot juice looks at the one smoking the cigarette and smiles. And in that smile, there is only the one beholding the one. You then are free to be at peace. You are free to release all judgment. You are indeed free to give yourself the exquisite experience of being the one who allows all things. You are the one who is free to embrace the innocence of each moment. You are the one who is free to require sunglasses against the morning sunrise. You are the one who is free to be free. And to be free is to be authentic. And to be authentic is to demonstrate the reality that only God, only creation itself exists. Code 610. Is this Susan?
Hi, Dr. Tim. You said before you started reading that some of this, I don't know if you used the word trigger, but you said you have reactions and thoughts about, and I'm assuming it's about this reading that you're reading now, and I'm certainly having them too. I'm finding this, maybe it's because I didn't sleep much last night, but I'm finding this so high that I need to come back to the tools in my immediate life and practicing the presence of God or practicing the gentle art of blessing. I don't know how to use what you've been reading. And I wondered if that was your experience, too, or is it something else altogether in any case?
Well, just think about it. How much in direct opposition to everything we've been taught in our lives is this teaching?
Not.
It's in direct opposition. It is. It's in direct opposition. This is blasphemy in almost every religion. Right? This is I know that it goes against everything I was taught kindergarten, grade school, high school, and college in my Catholic upbringing. I know that thousands of people that I've known in my life, if they heard me reading this, would be horrified. They'd want to attack me. They would want to shut it off. They would laugh at me as being insane because it is saying that there is no separation, that you are the creator, that you are the one mind. How many times can you say it before you think, wait a minute, that's the opposite of everything I learned growing up.
Oh, I see what you're saying, yeah. I agree with that, but you've been teaching us for long enough that I didn't start yelling. I was saying, this is all true, but I can't get there. This is all true, but this is not my experience.
Right, so. Right. But here's the point. The point of this, and this reading said very explicitly, when you say you can't get there, that's just your egoic mind telling you you can't get there because you're already there. The essence of you doesn't change when you have a thought about yourself as being different. Mm-hmm. I used to talk about it when I would be reading the Krishnamurti work and doing therapy with people. I would say to people, think about how many times your mind throws things up to you as though they're the absolute truth. You have a good day and you think, hey, I'm doing pretty good here in school, in grad school or whatever. Hey, I'm pretty smart. Look, I got this decent grade on this test. The next test that you don't do so great on, oh, you're an idiot. Oh, my God, I'm never going to get through this. You wake up one morning and you went for a walk the night before and you didn't eat any garbage before bed and you wake up and you feel pretty good. You feel pretty healthy. You wake up the next day and you didn't walk and you had some cake right before bed and you feel bloated and you think, oh, my God, I'm so fat and ugly. The thoughts about that do not create a substantive change in your weight or your attractiveness. Just the fact that you think I can't get there doesn't separate you in truth from your true nature. You still are everything this book is telling you that you are.
Right. I agree with that. I agree with everything you've said. So I don't know what the problem is, but
the problem is our mind, the egoic mind, the thoughts keep fighting it. And why? Well, that's why we do the worksheets, because I want to dismantle my fear. I want to dismantle my discomfort. I want to dismantle my confusion or my hurt. Because as I dismantle that, I will just relax into being who and what I am, going to be something I allow, something I accept, something I trust, something I embrace, and therefore I will transcend it. Or end the trance of being separate from it.
You said something right at the beginning of, just as you were starting to read, something like, we are it. We are the highest beings. And my mind went right to these ETs who are traveling here from gazillions of miles away to help us and support us. And I'm thinking, okay, we're talking about a different totem pole. It's just ego stuff. I'm trying to figure it out again.
No, there is no different totem pole. If there are ETs, if there are extraterrestrials, visiting us from some, we're the same as them. They're the same as us. If they have consciousness, they're the same as us. And all of the trappings, all of the size, the shape, the weight, the gender, the big bank accounts, all of that doesn't change the essence of consciousness. None of that is real the way consciousness itself is real.
Are you talking about consciousness of conscious of being conscious? Or just consciousness?
Yes, the awareness of life.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
fairly directly in this lesson. Right? You are creation itself is consciousness creating an experience. That's creation extending itself. So creation itself is in the physical, and it is the awareness of the physical. It is using the physical to create an experience.
Okay. I almost don't know how to form words about this, but
good,
at the end
good.
Of the day,
you
at the end of the day, after you, what? Sorry.
You don't need words about it. The words get in the way. The words are a copy of a copy of a copy. What we're looking for is the direct experience of safety, of wholeness, of life. What we're looking for is the recognition that when I judge this is good and that is bad, this is right and that is wrong, I'm taking myself out of the flow.
Mm-hmm. Good. I got that. Maybe the book itself was too many words.
Well, the point is, you know, you could use a book like this. You could use re-listening to the archive of this show. You could use it as the koan to just play over and over again so it distracts your conscious logical mind enough that, you know, with the words that you something else takes over and you have an experience at a deeper level. Remember the use
good
of a
idea.
Koan like. Remember the use of a koan like. You know. Do nothing and nothing is left undone. That's a koan. Here's another one. No ignorance, no end to ignorance. Right. These are phrases that seem to be self-contradictory, and if you sit with them long enough, you get different levels of awareness, or and at the beginning levels, your conscious logical mind will say, well, let me see how we can make sense of that, and it'll be chattering along until eventually it just gets exhausted. And
that's
then something else of true intelligence can show you something. Yeah, you still want to grab a hold of it with your conscious logical mind.
I just want to feel the ecstasy of it. I don't know if I care about understanding it. I want to get there, and I don't want to have to wait to get there.
It's the I that doesn't want to have to wait that is creating dissatisfaction with where you are right now.
Well,
and
the
thing
you just
said. And that's what they're talking about here. Remember, I, creation itself, love, God, light, love, embraces all things, trusts all things, allows all things, surrenders to all things, and thereby transcends all things. And what you're talking about right now is rejecting things, labeling them. I don't want what I've got. I want that bliss thing people are talking about. I don't want what my life is right now. I want this or that. I don't want my grandkids to be the way they are right now. I want them to be this way or that way. I don't want, et cetera, et cetera. And that's where you're butting your head against the brick wall of creation itself. And that's how you're generating your dissatisfaction. It sucks, doesn't it? Well, that sucks.
Well, hearing you chuckle like that was worth the price. I don't know what else to say about this. I think maybe my brain cells have all shut down.
That's okay. There is nothing else to say. Listen or don't listen, laugh or don't laugh, and eventually see the truth that is true always. Right? This is a journey that never ends to a destination that's never changed. You are,
wow,
as created to be. You're whole and perfect just the way you are. Your life as it's unfolding is perfect. Your conscious logical mind may never see that, and that's going to be okay. Because when you have a remembrance at this deeper state, when you allow all things, then you start to experience things differently, and you realize, oh, I was the one creating that suffering by this choice of labeling. Oh, I was the one that created this experience of negativity. And if you tune in next week, you'll see a whole series of shows, 5 shows next week. I keep coming across other shows, and I don't know exactly which ones are going to get, you know, in the final running for the 5 days. But you'll see over and over again how when I got upset about whatever it was that I thought was going on in my life, it was always just about the interpretation I placed on it. And how it was resonating old traumas or old judgments. And when I saw that and relaxed and allowed the truth to bubble up and released negative judgments against myself, it all faded away over and over again. That will be demonstrated in next week's shows. So either use the tools or don't use the tools. One day you'll wake up and realize it was all a dream anyway, and it's all okay. And you'll be willing and able to embrace life as the source of bliss that it is at that moment. And when you do, you won't be judging yourself negatively for not having done it 20 years earlier. You'll just be in the moment.
And this can happen even if you're pooped.
Even if you're what and what?
Very tired and feeling completely dull.
Yes. Yes, and it will. Because there'll be the realization that that's not your true essence. You'll be able to maintain the awareness of your true essence at the same time you're having that other experience of being very tired and dull and whatever. You'll see that it's all part of the dance of life and experience.
So a huge amount of vitality is not required.
No. No. That's just like that thing that we hit on years ago, you and I, when I was saying something about boundaries, and you said, I'm realizing how healthy somebody has to be to set good boundaries. And I said, it's really more like you don't have to get healthy before you can set good boundaries. It's like the more you set good boundaries, the healthier your relationships get. But, yeah, you can be exhausted. You can be exhausted, and it'll still work out all right.
Good to hear. Thank you, Dr. Tim.
Well, thank you, Susan Bingham. It's a delight once again to share a little conversation and airtime with you. I will mute you so you can listen in if you want. The second hour today is Michael and Jeannie are busy with other things, and so this is a replay of Magda doing hydro worksheets from 2012. This is the Hydra is that ancient mythical being that if you cut off its head, 2 or 3 more grow back or whatever
right.
That is. So this is one of the things we talk about in the worksheets, where every time I do a worksheet, if my eyes are open, it will probably give me several other worksheets I can do.
Right.
All right. So blessings. Thanks for being here. I will remind us all that we come from love. We're made of the stuff we call love. We actually are love. And this is our second hour from 2012, a worksheet with Magda on lots of different issues.
If you want to look at the whole process of forgiveness and how it works, If you go to our website, whyagain.com, on the right-hand side, you'll see a link that says Download Worksheets. The first four links under that section will give you the whole forgiveness story. And that's what we're inviting you into, to actually step into a space where you are willing to learn forgiveness, where you're willing to let loose of everything inside of you that causes you pain, where you're willing to take responsibility instead of playing the codependence game of blaming someone else. And as you do that, and all you have to do to enter into codependence is say to somebody, you made me. Now I'm codependent with this person. I want them to be responsible for what's happening inside of me. So that's our forgiveness conversation and our invitation to put an end to war in order to honor those who've been forced to engage in the insanity of that process on planet Earth. And we just invite you to participate. If you have questions or thoughts about that, we would love to hear your questions or thoughts about that idea and or anything to do with the tools that we're teaching here. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. If you have a question or a thought for us, we would love to hear your voice, and we would love to have that conversation with you. If you and I were sitting in a room alone, would you have a question for me? If so, then we ask you to call the number, 646-200-4169, and ask the question, and we'll be glad to answer it. You can have a conversation with Jeannie or I or David's there. Is Dr. Tim with us today?
Tim is not with us, and we do already have a caller. Area code 828, you're on the air. Who do we have?
Hello, everybody. This is Magdalena.
Oh, Magda.
Hi.
Welcome, neighbor. Welcome.
Hello, neighbor. Yeah, thank you very much. I trust this is finding you all in good health and great feelings, great happiness.
All is moving forward in wonderful ways.
Wonderful. Well, I do have a question, comments about one of your beautiful tools, your new reality management worksheet, also known as the forgiveness worksheet. And I've been experiencing this lately when I've been doing worksheets that revolve around something that I realize is my, of course, everything comes from within us. Often we don't realize it, and we do project it onto someone else. But there are occasions when I realize, whoa, this is me. It's coming from me. And so my trigger then is me. And when I'm working with myself as a trigger, I'm having some difficulty sitting that application into, especially number five, that section in number five. So I'd like some help with this to sort it out for myself and see how to better use this tool.
Great. Great question. First of all, the worksheet, of course, for those who haven't been exposed to the work very much who are on the show, is something that can be used in a situation involving anything that can trigger something less than love in you. So you can do a worksheet on yourself, another person, an object, a situation, any object of attention that resonates something less than love in you is a perfect opportunity to do forgiveness work. If you do a worksheet on yourself, or let's say in an inanimate object or a situation, throughout the rest of the worksheet, you're going to talk to that yourself and or that inanimate object or situation as though it were a third person. So you're going to kind of objectify yourself here in the Aramaic language. Pardon me, you are the neighbor to your true self, and the false self is neighbor to the true self. So you're doing a worksheet on your neighbor self, and when you get to number five, that's where you're canceling the goal. So in number three, you're in a situation, you've identified the situation. Would you mind sharing the situation that you're working on with us?
Oh, sure. Why don't I just start at the top and then see if I've even approached the beginning correctly here.
Great, let's go.
Okay. So number one, Should I read the whole thing or just tell you what I've written?
Sure, go ahead, read through it.
Okay. I love have, through denial, trained my carbon-based memory to show me the lie that my feelings and giving up the experience of my essence love are caused by my trigger, 1A, me. And then my initials to indicate that I know it's mine. So then I wrote what happened. I totally forgot my own goals when Chuck offered to make for me and then invited me to look at some information on the web. So in C, my mind tells me that, and then it says he, she, it, or they, and I wanted to put I in there, that I caused me to feel angry because it is me. So he, she, it, and they didn't seem to fit. So the feeling that I triggered in myself was my own anger. Indeed, the thoughts I used to cause this feeling, I sold myself out again without even a thought about my own goals. And in E, I wrote, I want to punish not them, but self by staying angry with myself. And then number two, I choose to love truth and willingly face and process out all disease-producing energy. I'm sorry?
Let's hold for a second. Let's go back and look now. So you've completed step number one.
Yes.
And this worksheet is a worksheet on self, or it could also be a worksheet on a situation.
Okay.
That would produce a different healing result. It could also be a worksheet on Chuck as the object of attention. So you've got three potential worksheets that will each help you to get at the root of another part of your mind. See, in this situation, you're blaming self for what's happened. So you mm-hmm. the trigger, self, you're laying blame on self.
Mm-hmm.
And in the same breath, you're saying, well, I know this is mine. Yes, and you're still in blame of self. So the key thing
well,
there to
got,
deal
I got lost there, Michael. You,
okay.
Yeah, I am blaming myself. When I was first feeling upset, I was wanting to blame Chuck, but I realized it's not him. He didn't do anything wrong. He didn't, you know, trigger anything. And so then a little bit later I got, whoa, it's me. And that's when I sat down and did the worksheet on me, self. So
you remember you heard me speak before about the Hydra, the Greek mythological creature that when you cut one head off, you have five more heads that come forward.
True.
So what I usually do when I'm doing a worksheet nowadays is I keep a pile of them, and when I see one of the other heads starting to raise, I start another worksheet. So I'll just put in, in the first idea or two that keys me in. So I would start a second worksheet on Magda.
Mm-hmm.
And the thought would be, or the situation is self-blame.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So Magda's number 1A,
okay.
And of course your initials. And then what's the situation? I blame myself when Chuck invites me and I forget my own goals.
Okay. Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
So that's different. How is that different from what I have done, though? Because I've got self, me. I write down me, but it's self.
Right.
I totally forgot my own goals. Okay, I didn't put the word blame in there. Is that it?
The Hydra, you know, you're starting to cut a head off, and the Hydra now is about self-blame.
Okay.
In the first one, you talk about I'm responsible for this, this is mine.
Mm-hmm.
So now you've opened a different file in your mind, and that's the file on self-blame.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that, for me, would be another worksheet. That's one of the, again, once you're starting to slice off one head, another one arises.
Okay, that's really tricky because it's so similar. I mean, to me, it sounds similar.
Yes.
There's
a huge difference between self-responsibility and self-blame.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
The worksheet on self-blame is going to produce some awesome results for you, I think.
Okay. That's great. Okay, good. I've got that noted. All right.
Okay. So that would be another worksheet to work on. So now we're back to the first worksheet, and it's Magda, and I forgot my goals, and this is my responsibility. And so that's the situation. Your feeling was anger?
Anger,
Okay. Anger toward self.
Yes.
Okay. Now, at the same time, as I'm looking at anger toward self, the instant that my mind went to, this is about Chuck, even though you can say to yourself, well, I know this isn't about Chuck, he didn't do anything wrong, I'd start an additional worksheet on Chuck because there's a part of your mind that believes that it is his fault.
Okay, just the fact that went through my mind momentarily before I was able to say, oh, no, it's not him, that indicates that there's something there.
Right, that indicates that there's a file in your mind that you'd rather not be in touch with that blames him in that situation.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I get
that. Even though you can intellectually say to yourself, I know this is mine. Remember that on a conscious level, we're seeing maybe, you know, they say 5%. I suspect we might be seeing 0.1% in terms of conscious awareness of what's going on under the surface. And so whenever I have even the subtlest thought show up like, well, this is Chuck's fault. I have to do this worksheet on Chuck. Oh, no, this is mine. This is my responsibility. Under the surface of that, you know, the other 99.999% is holding a place that is hidden where the belief is that it's about Chuck. So, and if you remember, you know, when we're looking at a picture in our minds, the pictures we see in our minds are generated by our minds out of the content of our minds. And those pictures are the very tip of the iceberg. And so when something starts to sneak up and I go, oh, no, that's not it, I want to follow through with that which is sneaking up. So I suggest start an additional worksheet on Chuck.
Okay.
And whatever that thought, however that went, you know, why does he distract me or whatever it is.
Why doesn't he read my mind and know that I have other things to do?
There you go.
Yeah.
Now, in order to produce this hologram that we call the world we see, there are probably literally a million files firing under the surface that we get to see just the tip of the iceberg. Each one of those files that we can grab and forgive any kind of hostile or fearful content is going to take the legs out of under this whole dynamic in our lives. So, you know, when they said to Yeshua, how many of these worksheets do we have to do? Is 7 going to get it? Is 7 enough? His input was no. In Aramaic, he said 77 times 70. So you've just uncovered, besides your prime worksheet, two additional worksheets that will produce the benefit of knocking the legs out from under this whole thing of blame of others, blame of self. Because I can, when I have blame under the surface and it peeks its head up, I can rationalize, oh, okay, there's no blame here, it's just my responsibility. And now I've taken that part which started to peek up and I've gone, no, I don't ever look at that one. Don't let that one come to the surface. Let's put that one away. I'm responsible, it's okay. I don't have to look there. And when you go into the string, that you follow that string and drill down to that, you're going to find, I suspect, some pretty intense stuff that will produce a whole shift in your perception of Chuck, in your perception of yourself, your perception of relationships.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's wonderful. Got it.
Oh.
Thank you.
So we've got three worksheets started. Now let's go back to the prime one. So the feeling in the first worksheet was?
Anger.
Anger toward Magda.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Magda says, I'm responsible, and then Magda has some form of hostility toward self. Now, remember that hostility is a drug. So anger toward Magda says that I have a file in my mind about Magda where I have some pain that I don't want to look at, and so my anger is a drug, is a cover for that pain. If you look at the thought under the surface of the anger, what is the thought that produces pain? A thought of loss, a thought of, what is the thought there?
Now, Michael, are you asking what I wrote down, or are you asking me to think about pain and the thought?
Yes. Yes.
Which one? Which one? The one I wrote down?
Yes.
Okay.
All of the above.
Okay.
All of the above. It's all relevant.
All of the above. All right. The thought I wrote that I used to cause this feeling, I sold myself out again without even a thought about my own goals.
Okay.
So it's a reprimand to me. I did this again. Big
okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So that might open another worksheet. This is the Hydra effect again. That might open another worksheet that you do on Magda and selling herself out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I thought this one was about.
Well, it ties in, but this one is about Magda being responsible for what's going on in her life. This one about Magda selling herself out is another shade, a different issue.
Okay. Wow, these are so...
I put selling myself out not as the thought in this next worksheet, but rather as the situation.
Got you. Okay. Oh, yeah, you know? Yeah. Okay. I've experienced that before where the thought brings up a topic for, you know, another trigger. It is another trigger. And
what?
I kind of forgot that. So thank you for real... enlightening me here. Good. Selling myself up. So that's number four, at least.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So there's anger, and I sell myself out. Now, what when you say I sell myself out, that sounds like it's a relatively easy thing to say, and, you know, oh, well, so what? So I've sold myself out. But in order for you to want to drug yourself with anger over that, there's something deeper. For instance, it might be something like all the hurt that you've experienced from the times when you sold yourself out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So the underlying thing is the hurt, the underlying pain, the underlying issue. And so now we've just opened another Hydra effect worksheet.
Mm-hmm.
So here's another worksheet with Magda as the object of attention and my hurt at all the times I've sold myself out.
Okay. Good. Well, this is great.
Because ultimately what you want to do and what keeps you unconscious, what tends to keep us unconscious in situations like that is I have 1,000 times that I've felt loss, pain, hurt, or what have you around a particular issue, in this case, selling myself out.
Mm-hmm.
And each time that's resonated, what happens is I'll go unconscious. So when somebody comes along and says, hey, I have a great idea, let's do this,
mm-hmm.
and I have a different commitment and I lose awareness of myself and my commitment, It's because I've got all that unconsciousness under there.
Correct.
And what I want to do is allow, and each worksheet will take you to a different part, will drill you down into a different part of the unconsciousness around this whole issue.
Yeah, that's a perfect word to use, drilling down. I'm feeling that so intensely right now.
Awesome.
We are just drilling deeper and deeper here. Yeah.
Awesome. And so each worksheet is taking you into a deeper and deeper part. And you remember in the ancient teachings, they said, take care of the heart, for out of it are the issues in life. And the heart, in our modern language, would be the unconscious, the dissociated mind, the part of me that I deny and dissociate from and don't ever want to look at. Nobody wants to look in there because it's not pleasant.
Right.
To look at what's there. But when we don't look at what's there, it controls us. It defines us.
Mm-hmm.
And so the only way to have choice in any given situation is to allow yourself the space to process out the unconsciousness that just has you lose awareness when a situation like that, you know, resonates.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now let's go back to the original worksheet. And what's your punishment thought towards self?
Staying angry with myself.
Okay, so you've got anger towards self.
That's
but there's
a lot in different worksheets, by the way.
Say again?
That comes up a lot in different worksheets, staying angry with myself or feeling bad about myself, feeling badly. Wow. Are we disconnected?
So is the punishment then in that situation self-condemnation?
Continued self-condemnation, yes.
Continued self-condemnation. So there's the punishment thought. And now the Hydra effect in again, and there's another subject for a worksheet, is my continuing self-punishment or self-condemnation.
Excellent. Number six.
So what you're allowing yourself to do is to have the space here to look at all the legs that sit underneath what comes up on the surface as a reality that seems just simple and straightforward. And these are the legs that support it and help it to stand there. And when you forgive, each one of them will contribute to this whole reality of self-blame, of unconsciousness, of self-condemnation. It'll just get you to the point where that whole thing will collapse. Remember in the new worksheet, we have that step in 5B that says, I want to be rid of the very capacity to even generate this.
Yes, I love that.
And so these are the legs that support the tip of the iceberg that looks like it stands on its own. And each one of those legs knocked out will get to the point where you could be in exactly the same circumstance. You know, Chuck says, hey, how about if we do this exciting thing and you've got a whole thing planned? And then, you know, 2 hours later you go, oh, I had a whole thing planned. And I thought, oh, well, you know, cool. Look at the great time we've had. There's no self-condemnation left because you've cleared out self-condemnation. There's no anger towards self because you've let go of the need for the drug because you looked at what was beneath the surface of the need to drug yourself.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, good. I'm excited.
Cool.
This is very exciting. All right.
So the willingness, and this is a big key, whenever there's hostility or fear, by definition, in step one, we're living in a lie. We're living in an hallucination. Anything that has hostility or fear attached is coming from corrupt data and therefore is not the truth. It may be a truth that we hold in our minds, but it's not the truth. And as you collapse it, as you choose to love truth, you'll be making a space. You'll be carving out a space in yourself for truth to really show up and arrive. Like, for instance, in a place where yesterday you might have been in self-condemnation of Magda, instead what will come will be these warm feelings of what an awesome spiritual being you are, you know, perhaps going way back to the moment of your birth, when someone told you what an awesome presence of love this being is. Rather than what your power person taught you was, you should be angry with yourself, and I'll just make a wild guess. Your power person probably spent a lot of time angry with themselves, right? And angry with you?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. Wild guess. And
yes.
So...
Not too wild.
Pardon me?
Not too wild. It was right on.
Yeah. So then now the Hydra effect takes over. We've got another worksheet. And this time the object of attention of the worksheet is going to be my power person.
Okay.
Mom, Dad, usually. So start a worksheet, if you would, with their name on it.
Yeah.
And they were angry with the situation. They were angry with me a lot.
Mm-hmm. And condemning.
And condemnation, and, right. Yeah.
Those are,
and then,
those
go ahead.
I'm seeing those as two separate worksheets.
Yes.
Yeah, my father being angry, my father condemning.
Right.
Yeah.
Of you. And then,
of me.
Still another worksheet. I think this is number 8 now, or number 7. So another worksheet. Would...
Yeah. Those were 7 and 8.
Okay. So another worksheet would be Dad. Yeah, that was the power person who selected, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. All the times he was angry with himself and condemning of himself.
Ooh. Really? Okay, so wait, that is the trigger?
That would be the situation. Dad would be the trigger, and the situation would be all the times Dad was angry and condemning of himself.
Okay.
And what you're probably going to find when you get down to number 3, the goal,
mm-hmm.
is the goal you held for Dad as you watched him being angry and condemning of himself will probably be exactly the same goal on your primary worksheet here that you held for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. Okay, so that takes us full circle.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Most power person issues do.
Yeah, wow. I had to take a breath.
A big breath. So now that we're on that topic, on both of those worksheets, or actually all 3 of those worksheets, the last 2 that you started and the
mm-hmm.
first, the primal one, we could probably go for the goal. If you look in number 1 or number 3 in your primary worksheet, the first one you started with, what is it that you want from Magda in that situation?
I wanted myself to take time and reevaluate my goals before deciding.
Okay. That one sounds pretty heady and coming very much from the mind, and that might be a good one to work with too. But the sense I get is one more of, in this situation, what I really wanted to do was to stay connected to love and self-approval.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at Dad being angry with you and condemning you, what you really wanted from Dad was for him to embrace you, cherish you, and approve of you.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Does that bring any feelings forward?
Sure. And very strong feelings. And that is, you're right, that's what I would want for him to have had for himself as well.
And that would be the same goal for himself, yes.
You're right. Okay. I'm writing down these.
We skipped over a step because we came right up against the goal. And while we're there, you know, you're not always going to necessarily do the steps in order. You might actually get an insight in step 6. And so if you do, then you go down and jot it into step 6. But right now, now we've got the goal for those 3 worksheets.
Yeah.
And they may apply to the others as well, but for those 3 at least, is the goal to – embrace self, cherish self, be approving of self. The goal for Dad to embrace you, cherish you, and be approving of you. And the goal for Dad to embrace himself and cherish himself and be approving of himself. And I don't know about you. I'm going to dig out a worksheet and do one on this, because when I, as I say that, I feel tears in myself.
Okay. Yeah, this is pretty universal, huh?
Yeah, that's a big one. Breathe. So then we'll go back to step two in the sense of that breath. And I choose to love truth. This whole thing of anger towards self, et cetera, is something my mind serves up, but it's not the truth. And so a choice. I choose to love truth, and then I'm willing to get big enough to embrace and to be able to work through all of these dis-ease-producing energies for all my relations.
Yeah.
Dad, mom, grandpa, grandma, all the way back. So there's a level of I'm willing to be the space here to open the depth of this particular issue for all of my relations, for all of my generations. You know, that story of the Jews wandering. Yeah, the story of the Jews wandering in the desert for 40 years.
Yeah.
That wasn't a story about some old fogies in the desert several thousand years ago. That's a story of us. And in order to get out of the desert, which is the unconscious, what has to happen? The old generation has to die off. That's what the ancient scripture said. They weren't talking about people in old physical bodies had to physically die. The root of the word generation is genari, which is cause. You're carrying a genetic cause here for self-condemnation, for anger towards self and self-disapproval, which you saw your dad do. Good chance you might have seen mom do it too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how well you knew your grandparents, but how much of it did you observe there, and or if you knew them, your great-grandparents?
I wasn't lucky enough to know them, but I received it all from my mom and dad in large doses. So, yeah. And I heard enough stories about one grandfather, at least, that I know he was operating this way.
Say that last sentence again. I didn't hear it.
I heard enough stories, family stories, about one of my grandfathers that I know for sure that he was operating with a great deal of condemnation. And my guess is that anyone who condemns anyone outside of themselves is, of course, condemning themselves as well, because it's a projection. So, So, wow. That brought up a great deal. I'm sorry? Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, be with it.
Yeah, the generations, you know, going, healing this for all the generations, that is bringing up a tremendous amount of feeling here. Yeah.
And notice that here you are with a global community of people who most of us probably have some of the same issues, but are here holding the space for you to enlarge your territory, to enlarge the space for you to embrace this and be able to process through it. I mean, you've got people in Asia and Europe and all over America who are here supporting you in this right now.
That's wonderful. I thank you all.
So then the next step in number two is I'm willing to go through the physical, mental, and emotional symptoms of healing. So I'm willing to embrace what comes up, and it sounds like, you know, maybe a lot of grief.
Yeah. A lot of grief, a lot of sadness. So there's number 10, I think.
Right, exactly.
No, number 11. Wow.
So sadness and grief about the way my generations have lived in relationship to themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What a contribution to the whole bloodline.
Mm-hmm. Hold on just a second. Okay. Chuck is coming over to say he's going to Hotline to do some work.
Oh, cool. Well, thank you, Chuck.
Yeah. He's on his way. Okay. The way my generation...
Is he out the door yet?
He is.
Okay, cool. All right, good.
So I give him a message when he comes back?
No, it's okay. No, I'll talk to him.
Okay. Okay, that's number 11. I also wanted to ask about the word in front of generations is relations. All my relations, and in parentheses, generations. I've been understanding relations to mean those in my family who are alive presently, like my brother, for instance. Would that be true?
It would include your brother and anybody in your family system. You know, the reason why I use that particular wording, it's so powerful. In the Native American tradition, there was this level of understanding that when they did something, they were doing it for their whole bloodline and that they were the caretakers of their bloodline. We live in a culture that says, pollute your bloodline if you want. It doesn't matter what you do. Whatever you put in there, what the hell, it doesn't hurt anybody. But, you know, the Native Americans, they have a word, and the word is Matakwiasin. And so when they enter into healing ceremony or a sweat lodge, they know they're not just doing it for themselves. And so their word for all my relations is Matakwiasin. And then, of course, in the worksheet, we've got my generations. I'm willing to enlarge enough to be able to embrace all of that.
Yeah.
And breathe, and then I'm willing to go through the physical, mental, and emotional symptoms of healing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've already established the goal, number three, and of course the physical, mental, and emotional symptoms of healing are all the things that are coming up, the feelings, the thoughts, all of the energies that have been going on for more generations than any of us would probably care to even think about or admit.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons why healing isn't very popular because most people would rather not deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So now we've got the goal. You want to just repeat the goal the way you wrote it down?
Yes. I want myself to take time to reevaluate my goals before deciding.
Okay.
That's what I wrote and what you redefined. Where did I write that? I want to stay in touch with love and self-acceptance.
Self-approval.
Self-approval.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And again, they could be two more refined worksheets.
Mm-hmm.
But seeing as how we've tapped in with the one with that, let's go with the self-approval, staying connected to love and self-approval, even in the face of what I consider to be an error.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
So that's number three. Now, what we want to do is we want to make sure that the two things that are necessary for healing to occur is love needs to be active and present, and we need to access the deeper part of the mind. So we've got the access happening. We're going to take that to another level in a minute, but at this point, we just want to do step three where I choose to connect to love, my true nature, or pardon me, four, I choose to connect to my newborn nature love instead of this upset.
Mm-hmm.
And so the best way I know to do that is imagine holding a newborn child, smile at the newborn, and let the energy of your smile go up and warm the frontal lobes of the brain. That's where the filter Rockman located. That Aramaically we're told was the first law, that keeping that active was the major key.
Michael, I've never been blessed to be able to hold a brand new newborn. However, I have had some spiritual meditation training, which has, you spoke of this last week or the week before, it has enabled me to nearly touch my heart chakra and go to that space of love, and it definitely, and smile at my heart, smile at the love in my heart, and really is able to get me in touch with that. And you mentioned that somewhere in a conversation about changing your brain, and it does change the brain. But anyway, that's the technique I use. Before I discovered that, I used to think of the first little teeny tiny kitten I fell in love with, and you know, it's just very much the same as a newborn baby, a newborn kitten, newborn puppy. So
let's just do that. I'll join you in connecting to that love.
Yeah.
And of course, I just imagine my daughter being birthed, her head delivered into my hands. She opened her eyes and looked at me with crystal clear eyes and grinned at me and sent me into another universe. So I'll join you in that, holding that space. And we ask everybody that's listening to the show to tap into the active presence of love.
Yeah.
Strengthen this field that creates this space on planet Earth. And then as you connect with that, then bring your answer from number 3 to be in love, self-approval, and when I make a mistake. You want to transfer that down to number 5.
Mm-hmm.
And I cancel my need for that.
Mm-hmm.
And for those who are listening to the show, this canceling idea, the core of the forgiveness process in Aramaic, the word forgive, is shebag, and it literally translates to cancel. And you'll notice in your life that you never have upset unless there's something you want to be different than the way you see that it is. You're never an upset. If everything is hunky-dory, you know, everything's wonderful, there's no reason for me to have upset. But it's only when I have a desire, I have a goal, and when I put that goal into my mind, that goal links to some form of hostility or fear in me that I'm in trouble. So I'm going to cancel the goal, shebag, cancel the goal, not because there's anything wrong. It's an awesome, wonderful goal to be in touch with love and in self-approval all the time, even when I make a mistake. That's a fabulous goal. But if I load that goal into my mind and it accesses my hostility or fear, then I'm in trouble. And so I'm mm-hmm. going to cancel that goal. So step number 5, I cancel my need
mm-hmm.
to be in touch with love and continuous self-approval even when I make an error.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So by doing that, I'm collapsing the reality in my mind. And as I collapse that reality, what happens, you know, if we read number 5A in full, my reality, made of a max of 9 bits of information out of 10,000 brain cells firing, is a limited picture from my carbon-based memory, and a result of or driven by my goal, number 3, is constructed out of corrupt data. By canceling my goal, my replicant mind's output, and replicant mind meaning it just keeps repeating the same stuff, my replicant mind's output collapses and gives me direct contact with the denied and dissociated part of my carbon-based memory, which projects and blames others or self for its content. In other words, when there's hostility or fear, we're in an hallucination.
Okay.
So then go ahead.
That was something I had wanted to ask you about, which projects and blames others. And that doesn't fit, of course, if you're doing it on self. So,
sure. Remember, when you're doing the worksheet on self, you're treating yourself as though you were a third person.
Oh, okay. So if I remember that, I'm cool. And, yeah. All right.
So your non-being self, your hostility and fear-based self, is a neighbor to your true self-love. And that's what you're doing this worksheet on, is the non-being self.
Okay. And I better make a note of that. Non-being self. Okay. Yeah, good. That explains it. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then last step in number 5A, I choose to collapse my mind's lies by canceling, in Aramaic, there's a reminder there, shebag, the goal for number 1A, myself, to be in touch with love and continuous self-approval even when I make a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
So just cancel that goal and let it go. You know, I like what Julie does with kids is she has them put it in a balloon and let it float off. When I remove that driver from my mind, that collapses the projection aspect of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then I want to ask, there is in us, in 5B, for those who are looking at the worksheet, there's a power that in Aramaic was called Ruku Dukudsha. It's a feminine elemental force, a super processor, so to speak, that when we ask it for help, will move things in us. So number 5B, and we just invite you to do this, Magda, I invite Ruka, in short form, to incline me toward healing, to restore me to my newborn state love, to heal my denial, and my capacity to generate self-anger or self-condemnation.
And in this case, Michael, what would denial refer to? That's another point.
Well,
where I get to accept.
When I'm up in the beginning and my mind is telling me that, you know, this is all my fault and I'm bad and I'm no, and this whole list, it's my denial that keeps that in place.
My denial of my true being.
The denial of your true being.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, that
and or the refusal and or the refusal to look at the root of this whole string of events that I want to keep denied and dissociated. I don't want to look at this, so I keep it hidden.
Okay.
So as I identify denial and Chuck comes in the room and says, hey, how about if we do, then rather than going unconscious, I'm going to just go, whoa, boy, that brought some stuff up, and I'm going to move through it rather than lose myself in it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I'm going to ask this power another level, help me to open a direct conscious relationship with and remove the dissociated and projected parts of my carbon-based memory. So all of this pain, all of this stuff that's been going on for generations that I'm willing to look at for all my relations, I'm now setting this super processor, Ruka, loose to move that energy, to take me through that.
Mm. Okay.
So asking for support in that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that helps. That dissociated and projected also was a little questionable for me because I was figuring, I'm not dissociating, I'm not projecting this on anybody else, but it's all of the rest that's underneath that I've been dissociating from and obviously projecting over time.
Yeah, maybe tomorrow, after you've done those other 11 worksheets we came up with, you can tell me about whether there was any dissociation or projection.
I'm sure there won't be, Michael. I'm sure of it. But I won't bet you on that.
Okay. So as you cancel that goal and you invite that power to go to work, how do you feel? Number 6, how do you feel?
Very happy and very excited.
Okay, happy and excited. And about 1B, the situation in 1B, where there's this anger towards self, what's that look like now?
Well, what I wrote originally was, I simply missed the mark, no need for anger or punishment. And what I realize is that's telling me what I don't need. But what I realize is what I do need out of our conversation here. I simply missed the mark, and what I need to do is stay in love and self approval and self-acceptance on a continuous basis.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. So,
okay. So, and we're getting down to the last couple of minutes, so I want to see if we can get this worksheet finished before we complete the show. We'll probably skip our outro today. So you've got your feelings and how the situation looks to you now, and then I asked to be shown how I violated number 3. So this could open another dozen worksheets with all the times that I violated this goal to stay connected to love and self-approval.
Yeah.
You could probably do a whole list of worksheets, probably another at least 100 or maybe 77 times 70, right?
I won't have those done by tomorrow, Michael.
Say again?
I won't have those done by tomorrow.
Oh, I hope you will. No, just kidding.
Okay,
so you can see the application of that one, and then we want to do the final step, and that is number 7. A principle of the universe is that by giving, I first get the original. So number 1A, Magda, myself, I acknowledge myself for admitting, for allowing truth in. Here I am. Oh, my God, I had no idea that this reality of self-condemnation and anger towards self sat on the floor or the underpinning of the way my father used to condemn me and used to condemn himself and the way my grandfather used to condemn himself. I had no idea that was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So now I'm admitting, I'm allowing truth to come in and making a deeper connection to my true being, perfect love, creating
mm-hmm.
in my physiology the activity of that space of perfect love.
Mm-hmm.
And then choose to structure a truly loving goal based on number 3 toward, and now you're treating yourself as a third person, toward you, myself, number 1A. And what is it you want to offer yourself? So now you come down to the bottom line and you've got a goal for self now. What would that goal be at this point?
So my original was, my loving and joyful, I offer you my loving and joyful support in staying in touch with your own goals when interruptions occur. However, now, having redone this with you, I offer you, Magda, continuous acceptance, self-acceptance, and love. That's it. Continuous love and self-acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. Even in the face of what appears to be an error.
Sure. Amen. Yes.
Yeah, that's real important. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You got it, woman. That's just right on track.
Wow.
That's fabulous. Now, another quick step to do in the little box to the right where it says draw your feelings is to look at, I commit to having a human life, to living as love. To help achieve this, I do a mass canceling of all the times I wanted number 3 from someone. And then there's a place for initials. So here you'd start putting in the initials. This goal of you wanted somebody to be in self, in approval of and having love with you. So who would you put on that list besides Dad, Chuck, Mom?
The world.
Former, maybe?
Or former, everybody. Teachers.
Who all could go on that list?
Father.
Did I hear you say David?
No. Teachers, I mean, everybody.
Me.
Oh, yeah, Michael, too, sure. Jeannie, Julie, everybody.
Okay. So then now this takes it to another level. Now I'm going to do a mass canceling of that goal for all those people in my life. And our time's going to run out. We're going to get cut off, but this will make an awesome, we're now going to have a third worksheet program on the website for doing worksheet on self. This is, thank you for doing this, Magda. This is just awesome.
Oh, well, it's been my pleasure. Thank you for walking me through this. It's gone so, so very deep, Michael. Thank you.
Fabulous.
It's been terrific. Terrific. My blessings to you and many, many things.
All right.
Yes.
We honor you. We got about 10 seconds. We cherish you being on our team and being our neighbor, and we look forward to supporting you and creating the best year yet of your eternal life. Everybody in the audience, bring somebody to the show with you tomorrow. Blessings. Bye-bye.